All right, welcome to another edition of the R. Bill Simmons podcast. We are coming to you with instant reaction to Barstool out, ESPN in Penn Gaming sports betting rights deal. Huge shakeup in the sports gambling, in the media landscape. We are going to break it down starting right now. So, look, the headline here is ESPN $1.5 billion deal, really a potential $2 billion deal. And for why that's happened, ESPN is in financial trouble. I've covered this in the most two recent emergency podcast episodes, so check those out. I won't go into detail for it. We're going to get on ESPN a little bit later. But the reason ESPN is doing this is because they're looking to monetize the company in ways they haven't before. They need to grow outside the confines of the declining linear TV bundle that is losing subscribers at an astronomically fast rate. So that brings in Barstool. Penn Gaming is dropping Barstool for ESPN. And the most interesting part of that is they're selling back Barstool to Dave Portnoy for no money. What they're getting is 50% of the proceeds if Portnoy does sell it in the future. So I want to go back a little bit through how we ended up here, and then I'm going to compare it to where Bill Simmons currently stands. So Portnoy years ago sold a decent amount of stake in Barstool to an investor, the Chernin Group. And what that was meant to do is invest growth equity into the business to grow it massively. So, yeah, either the company could grow in and of itself, or you could potentially sell yourself to somebody in the future. And so I want to go through the original deal that Penn bought buying the, I think it was 36% in Barstool in early 2020. The growth was there. In this presentation, Barstool Sports, 53% revenue growth in 2018, 65% revenue growth in 2019. So whatever was happening with that company, it was working, at least in terms of revenue. In terms of profitability, we didn't get those numbers. All the presentation says is that the company generated nearly 100 million of profitable revenue. So is that 100 million revenue with $1 million of profits or 15 million? Who the hell knows? And we probably will never know that. But the Chernin Group, what they did worked. Okay. And so when Barstool went and sold a third of itself to Penn Gaming, the thought there was that ultimately this was going to be a great way for Penn to acquire customers. And what I think we're realizing today is that it's really hard to gain customers in online sports gambling unless you have a really strong brand. Penn was not going to be doing it. They needed somebody. And so what they figured out was rather than spending all of this money on advertising, rather than spend all this money on customer acquisition, why don't we just buy Barstool? Yeah, we're going to be spending a decent amount of money to get Barstool. Sure, it's pretty significant. They invested $163 million in Barstool initially for a 36% equity position and then bought the whole thing for about $450 million total. But the benefit here is that they were able to, and I'm quoting from their presentation again in January 2020, significantly reduce Penn's customer acquisition costs. So this is really key, is that while yes, Penn is selling for nothing today to Portnoy, what they, in essence, bought for 3 years was tons of customers. And now what they're doing is ESPN wants the dance. They found a better dance partner. ESPN, 3 years ago, was in a much different position than it is today. Disney was in a much different position. Pandemic hurt, right? The parks declined. Nobody could go to them. But if you remember back in mid-2020, late 2020, Disney Plus rocketing up the streaming list, getting tons of subscribers. Stock was at $200. Wall Street was loving it. Well, fast forward to today, Disney stock's at 85. Everybody's questioning their strategy. Cord cutting, which is the rate of people dropping the video bundle subscription, is 7, 8, 9% now. What does that mean? ESPN's distribution revenue is declining because people are cutting the cord, and that means ESPN gets less revenue. So ESPN all of a sudden is looking to do a variety of things. Maybe they would sell part of themselves to the NFL, to the NBA. Maybe they would get into a partnership with Apple to distribute some sports. Maybe they go ahead and make some money off of sports betting. And this is what they're doing. It's a $1.5 billion deal over 10 years for Penn, paying ESPN, and they're paying them an additional $500 million potentially in equity. So if you're Penn and you're looking to get into the sports betting game, what better company is there than ESPN? So that's why Penn's doing the deal. If you're ESPN, great. You're getting into the sports betting game. You're getting paid a lot of money for it, but you're also benefiting from all of that customer acquisition that Dave Portnoy and co. did. Now, they got paid for it, for sure. But all of that customer acquisition, all the Barstool gambling, that's now going to ESPN Bet, is what it's going to be called. So it's kind of funny how that's worked, is that it's sort of like Portnoy has been working for ESPN Bet all these years. I would equate it, it's the same thing as Bill Simmons getting paid significantly by FanDuel. This is how it's happening these days. This is how sports media is being funded. It's by the gambling companies. So I think before Penn, FanDuel and DraftKings were huge advertisers on Barstool. You know, depending on whether the non-compete covers that or not, that probably the same thing's going to happen post-Penn with Barstool. And Simmons does the same thing with all his FanDuel stuff. So that's kind of why it's happened. And 3 years ago, ESPN was not looking to get into sports gambling because they were in a much better spot financially. So if you're Penn, the reason you're doing this now is that ESPN was not a potential dance partner 3 years ago. It is now. And so you're on the dance floor, and you know what? You're not doing so hot with Barstool. And that's what Dave Portnoy alluded to in his press conference today, the two-minute video on Twitter. It was getting difficult for Penn and Barstool to coexist in order to get gambling licenses by state regulators. This was a big issue. So there was incentive on both sides here to kind of get out of this deal. And that's why ultimately Portnoy gets the steal of getting it for nothing. Because ESPN's on the hunt. Penn goes, oh my goodness, ESPN's getting into the game. We got to get in with ESPN. Well, the only way they can get in with ESPN is if they totally divest themselves of the Barstool brand. Probably for a variety of reasons. But specifically, I bet ESPN said, yeah, we want the ESPN brand, not the Barstool brand. That's what you're going to have to do. So I don't think Penn was ever going to pay Dave Portnoy to take Barstool, but Dave Portnoy got the next big thing because he gets Barstool essentially for free. Kind of incredible. Now, we don't know what the, quote, restrictive covenants, unquote, are of this deal. And obviously, if Dave Portnoy, the big issue for him in what would kind of limit the benefit of this deal is he has to pay Penn 50% of the gross proceeds if he sells Barstool again. So that could be big one day. Who knows? But in the video, Portnoy is saying, "I'm not going to be selling it I'm going to be giving it to Dan or Kevin if I'm dead. So I think we have to commend Portnoy here for he struck at a pretty good time to sell to Penn. Now, some could argue Bill Simmons got a better deal with Spotify buying the Ringer, and maybe Portnoy should have sold to Spotify potentially. Who knows? But I think ultimately the gambling piece of the equation here, it made it, there, that was a fit for Portnoy. So it kind of made sense he was doing that. So now we go to Portnoy has 100% of Barstool. And let's back up a little bit. I was looking at these filings. So 28% of Barstool was owned by the employees when Penn bought the whole thing for $450 million. So I think what happened is Portnoy is a huge part of that. So he gets paid out pretty significantly on that $450 million. Part of the original deal was that Penn was investing, I think, $130 million into Barstool, but also doling out maybe $30 million in equity to top employees, $28 million in equity to top employees. So that's where Portnoy's gotten some. Penn equity consideration to be distributed to key Barstool Sports employees. That was part of the transaction. So Dave Portnoy has a pretty significant cash sum from his entire stake being sold. He has a significant piece of Penn equity because that was what he got in the deal. And now he's got 100% ownership of the company. And there's no issue with the other employees either because it was 100% owned by Penn as of 3:59 today. So this is the big question now is what does Dave Portnoy and Barstool do now that Dave has 100% ownership? So here's my take. I don't think Dave wants to be selling Barstool anytime soon for a couple reasons. First of all, clearly he loves it. Second of all, now he feels like he can speak freely again when he couldn't before. So he's going to want to have that for a while. But then number three, he doesn't want to pay the 50% gross proceeds to Penn if he sells it. He wants to keep it. And he said that in the message. So what does that mean? Well, okay, let's say Barstool, I said the stats. They were increasing revenue by 60% in 2019 on $100 million of they said, profitable revenue. Maybe they were making a couple million, $5 million in profits, right? So if I'm Dave, what I'm doing, again, if I'm not going to be selling it, I'm going to be taking the throttle back a little bit on growth, and I'm trying to make this as profitable as possible. Because that's ultimately how Dave Portnoy is going to get paid. He'll pay himself a salary, right, and bonuses and all that stuff. But if Dave Portnoy owns 100% of Barstool and Barstool makes $10 million in a year, Dave Portnoy is going to get his salary plus the $10 million that Barstool makes because he owns everything. That's pretty good. So he now does not care about the growth metrics as much as he cares about profitability. I think you will see that reflected in what Barstool does going forward. So I think you could very much see Barstool doing what I thought Bill Simmons was going to do after ESPN is you have a smaller crew of people that are known moneymakers that you can put together that are synergistic and can have a kick-ass website, podcast network, media empire to make a bunch of money. So my prediction is that over the next year or so, you're going to see some talent leave Barstool. And it's going to be under the guise from Dave of the pirate ship or whatever he calls it. We're getting it back. We're free speech again. We're not beholden to the state regulars anymore. But in reality, he's kind of saying that because he wants to get the business back on track. Now, another element here I'm interested in is, does Portnoy use equity to get talent on? So I think everybody kind of thinks that Ryan Russillo was given some equity by Bill to come over to the Ringer. So then if Rossello has a very small amount of Ringer equity, it gets sold for $200 million. He gets paid nicely on top of the big salary he's certainly getting and whatever revenue share, whatnot, he's getting from his podcast. So that'll be interesting. Or does Portnoy just say, nope, I want to own 100% of this forever. I'm going to leave it. Does Portnoy, you know, what about PMT? What about Top Talent? It was different before when, you know, clearly the presentation says Barstool employees were given Penn equity. So that means it wasn't just Portnoy. It means that some of these guys and Big Cat and Erica were mentioned in the Penn press release. They had major equity positions. With Dave having 100%, does he divvy that up at all? Does he next contract, does he give some to PFT and Dan? Did the PFT and Dan have allegiance to Barstool? Probably, but maybe not fully. I don't know. I'm not really in with Barstool. I don't listen to much of what they do, but now things can be a little bit different with Dave controlling 100%. So that's another thing to watch is what are the actions of the other top Barstool employees going to be? And is there potentially an increased desire to leave if this is going to be run differently than what it was before? So keep your eye on that. I think certainly Dave is going to be supercharged into, if I were him, now is the time to do what Bill Simmons did at the Ringer, find young talent for cheap, but to actually develop them. That's what I think Bill didn't do at the Ringer sometimes is he had his core guys. He had CR and Mallory and Juliet and he has Rossillo. But where are some of these smaller, these lower tier people? Did they ever make it big? I think if I'm Portnoy, I'm trying to do that so that I can keep on increasing the profit. Because at the end of the day, that's what it is. And I don't think Barstool has to be a growth company anymore. Barstool just needs to be a solid company that it's not looking to grow for metrics just to get sold to somebody. It's looking to make substantial profits because that is the direction of the new ownership. Okay. So let's compare this to Bill Simmons and Clay Travis, because those are the three names that I would put the singular sports media people. So if I compare it to Bill, Bill sells for $200 million to Spotify. Now, there's pros and cons to this versus what Portnoy does. I think Bill probably has more upfront money than Portnoy has gotten for Barstool, given that Chernin owned 60% of it prior to the Penn sale. So Portnoy had given up a lot of his equity in order for the company to grow, which is what a lot of companies do. Bill famously was very tight with his equity, kept it for himself, and great because that gives him the most upside. And we talked about this in episode 25, if you want to get into more detail on it, of this podcast. So the question now for Bill Simmons is, okay, he got the Spotify bag, he got his money, he clearly signed some sort of employment contract with Spotify to be there 4 or 5 years. What happens after the employment contract ends? Does Spotify re-sign him? And the answer could be yes, because if Bill's podcast is making $8 million for Spotify, maybe they sign him to a $7 million a year contract and say, Bill, you don't have to worry about stuff. You get the seven, you don't have to do it on your own. We're paying you a guaranteed $7 million. Or Bill says, my podcast is making $8 million a year in revenue, but I think I could make it $10 million plus on my own. I'm going to go on my own. So that's kind of the big thing. And we've been talking about this a lot on the podcast of what is Bill's next move after Spotify. Dave Portnoy, on one hand, has 100% of Barstool Sports, the company he poured his blood, sweat, and tears into. He can now take that with his employees in any direction he sees fit. The difference with Bill Simmons is that if he goes out onto his own, he has to build everything up from scratch again, which, granted, might not be that difficult. He did it already once. He could do it again. Or did it twice with Grantland with the help of ESPN, did it with the Ringer. But is Bill Simmons at 53 or whatever he is he putting in the energy to build up a site like The Ringer, to build up a podcast network like The Ringer? I'm not so sure. So it actually might make sense going forward for Bill to stay at Spotify. You find an amenable deal where Bill does X podcasts a year, and obviously he's taking a break now, so he has a good situation. You do X podcasts a year, you get paid Y for it, and Bill gets some responsibility with being a head podcast executive at Spotify. He does some talent deals, and he has fun with this. So maybe that's what he does as opposed to going out on his own. If you compare this to what Clay Travis did, I believe he sold OutKick for 50-ish million to Fox. And I always thought that, because OutKick used to be only Clay, and then for about a year, he supercharged the growth, hired a bunch of people, and then quickly sold it. So frankly, it looks like OutKick was being invested in to be sold. But then Fox gets the benefit where Fox now has a younger online sports-focused website. They put a lot of OutKick articles on foxnews.com. And then Clay Travis, I mean, this guy is everywhere on Fox programming. He's on all the shows. So Fox can have any guest they want to on any of these shows, right? But when Clay Travis is on Fox News shows and he's promoting OutKick, well, that benefits Fox. So it's almost like a free advertisement for Fox that they have the head of OutKick promoting OutKick on Fox News airwaves when they're not getting paid revenue for that. It's not a commercial. So there's synergy involved there, which I think is what Fox probably saw. And Fox makes over $2 billion a year, so $50 million for Clay's site. And they probably did the same thing, signed an employment contract with him for Clay to be on all these Fox News shows. Maybe it was worth it for Fox. I don't know. I also want to compare it to – oh, and let's finalize this with Clay and OutKick. I think he sold 100% of OutKick, so he doesn't get any equity upside now. He made his money. He got his bag, a smaller bag than Simmons and Portnoy, but he got the bag, and now he's getting his radio show money and his employment contract money for Fox. Then you look at The Athletic that is seeing, I think, significant problems now inside of the New York Times. They were losing millions of dollars a year. The New York Times still bought them. Let's even throw Vice into the mix. Vice had to file for bankruptcy recently. So the point I'm getting at is that the digital media landscape for buying digital media, it's much worse than it used to be for a variety of reasons. Advertising market's down. Podcasting is down. You look at SB Nation. You look at Vox. You look at all these kind of companies. BuzzFeed, it's way down. Websites, are people really reading websites that much anymore? Not really. So I think if you're Dave Portnoy, what you're looking at here is you're saying, I'm willing to agree with Penn on the 50% gross proceeds because I never intend to sell Barstool anymore. Why would I want to sell Barstool? Because it's not only a good market to sell it, but also I want to have complete control over it. And then from Penn's perspective, kind of making it back around to the beginning of the pod, from Penn's perspective, they really can't divest Barstool for nothing. So they needed something. But is Dave Portnoy really willing to outlay cash? Probably not to buy back Penn. But in order to complete the deal with ESPN, they needed to offload Barstool rather quickly to get a deal done. Maybe toxic is the wrong word, but I don't know. To get a deal together that quickly, companies have to do due diligence. Like, how much money is – who are the bidders? Is Spotify bidding for Barstool? Maybe, maybe not. Probably not. So I think Penn just said, let's secure the ESPN deal. Barstool secondary, we'll get a little bit in return from Portnoy, but we don't need that much. We make more money letting it go for free and he's signing with ESPN. So I would say, look, I think if you're Dave Portnoy right now, yes, there's a little bit of egg on your face, a little bit, because you hyped up Penn, you wanted to make it work. There was so much hoopla about it. I mean, man, like, you know, it's a little bit embarrassing that it didn't work out. On the other hand, you got Barstool for motherfucking free. I mean, that's insane. Barstool was valued at $450 million. Portnoy, let's say he had 30% of that. He made over $100 million in the sale. He gets it for free. That's insane. That's insane. So I'm not saying that I don't know how much Barstool makes or doesn't make. I don't know, you know, if it's making $3 million a year and it was bought with the promise of huge revenue growth going forward, then maybe Dave's not going to make too much money in the near term. But also now Dave controls his salary, so he can pay himself a lot. That's what Simmons probably does at The Ringer, or had done that when he was there. So I think you have to give there's a positive and negative, but I think the positive outweighs the negative. I think you have to give Portnoy a win here because he's taking advantage of a situation that no one expected, that ESPN all of a sudden is going to get into gambling. No one thought that. Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, in his previous stop said, yeah, no, we're not that. We're not going to be moving ESPN into this. And now they are. So I think you got to go big winner, Dave Portnoy. In terms of Penn, they're also winning here. I mean, they have positives and negatives too. The negative, obviously, is that they paid $450 million to buy Barstool, and they don't have Barstool to show for it. But what the $450 million enabled is they have enough customers, and ESPN saw enough potential where ESPN said, I want to partner with you guys, and part of that can be in stock because we want to prosper with you. So that is a major positive for Penn, and they got the deal done. And then I think you have to give ESPN the win. I mean, laughably, after Barstool Van Talk, they kick Barstool to the curb once again. Incredible. But you got to give ESPN the win for simply having the ESPN brand. ESPN makes $1.5 billion to call it ESPN Bet over the next decade with an additional $500 million in stock potentially coming. And you know, just like Bill Simmons, and I'm making fun of him for this a lot, but he's making a lot of money, so he can take it, and I'm not making the FanDuel money he's making. He's getting paid big bucks by FanDuel. He mentions FanDuel all the time. You want to bet that ESPN and ABC are going to be mentioning ESPN Bet on ESPN from now until the end of days? Of course they are. And that's also the – I want to finish on this point. That's where the synergy comes in. There needs to be the win-win-win synergies. I always use the example of Mark Titus. Mark Titus at The Ringer was not being correctly utilized. Bill barely had him on his podcast. No one is reading his articles. The Ringer wasn't even invested in college basketball. But Titus, while he was at The Ringer, was going on Barstool podcasts a lot. And so the benefit of Titus now partnering and being at Barstool is that when PMT, part of my take, needs a college basketball analysis, they bring on Titus, which they would have done anyway. But now when listeners of PMT say, I'm looking for a college basketball podcast, they go to Barstool. Barstool benefits. They get more listeners. They get more ad revenue. So Barstool benefits because they can now plug a podcast they have a revenue share of into their ecosystem rather than PMT just having a random guest that's non-Barstool. And then, of course, Titus benefits being in the Barstool ecosystem by going on all these different podcasts, by people you know, hey, I go to Barstool for sport A, B, and C. Maybe I'll check it out for college basketball. So there's a win-win there. The same thing I mentioned Fox News and Clay Travis. I know most people listening don't like either of those, but the win-win is there, as opposed to, let's say, Adam Carolla goes on Sean Hannity's show. What is he promoting? Like a live show? Who really cares? That's not as much of a win-win as when Clay Travis goes on Sean Hannity's show. Clay Travis is promoting a Fox News enterprise and OutKick. So if Adam Carolla had a Fox News-owned podcast, it would make a lot more sense for him to be going on going on Fox News as much as he does. So the Clay Travis is more of a win-win than the Adam Carolla is. And so ultimately, the win-win here, it really helps. You know, all these companies together are benefiting from this deal today. And what we're going to have to see here is, what does Portnoy do going forward? It's going to be fascinating. Obviously, you know, just like Bill, just like everybody else, like we need to go deeper than just the words and just the actions. Like, what is driving the actions? Because we need to see what Portnoy does. And Portnoy, if he even wanted to invest some of his own money, he could. He probably won't, but Portnoy has made it in life with the money already. So he can afford to take some risks that he could not afford to take either before he had the money or while under Penn ownership. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out. It's fascinating. The Penn stock's up 20%. Disney stock's up a percent and a half on this. So I think the only... Yeah, and that's the thing too. So, okay, so win, win, win. So then who's losing here? The losers is the other gaming companies that are competitors to Penn National that were looking to partner with ESPN. That's the loser. I would even say maybe Fox is a loser. Fox is trying to do Fox Bet. So that's unfortunate for them. Maybe even FanDuel is a loser, because they're trying to gain sports gambling share. So, you know, look, at the end of the day, I think if you talk to Penn on January 28th, 2020, which is the day before they bought Barstool, and you told Penn you were going to spend $450 million on customer acquisition of gambling customers, and then you were going to sign a 10-year deal with ESPN Bet, I would say they'd take that deal. So, yes, there is some ownership of Barstool and a divestiture in the meantime, but I think they take that deal. If you told Dave Portnoy January 28th, 2020, that you were going to make – and at this stage of the game, he owned 30% of Barstool. If you told Dave Portnoy that – you will keep the same ownership. Sorry. If you told Dave Portnoy January 28th that in 3 years you will be $100 million richer in cash, $25 million, I don't know how much it is, million dollars richer in Penn equity, and your ownership stake will go from 30% to 100% in Barstool Sports, that is a colossal W. Colossal W. Doesn't matter if the egg's on your face. And then if you tell ESPN January 28th, 2020, that you're going to be making $2 billion for doing nothing but lending your name, you're going to take that. It's a win-win-win. Everybody takes it. And again, the only people that are losing here, they're the competitors. They're the ESPN competitors. They're the Penn National competitors. Maybe there's some Barstool competitors, but that's the only thing. So, yeah, I just want to go through all that because I think this is fascinating. I can't wait to hear the call tomorrow from Penn. I can't wait to hear the Disney call. I think all this stuff's going to be great. If If you're interested in more, if you have questions, find it at Arbo Simmons Pod on Twitter. And look, we'll be following this. We'll be following these sports media stories as they roll through. But in the meantime, stay safe out there. Don't lose too much on a Bill Simmons parlay, on a FanDuel posted parlay. Hopefully you make it the next 3 weeks until Bill Simmons is back in late August with Cousin Sal Pods. So, Tribe, signing off. Until next pod.